What is your earliest memory of being interested in textiles? Like, did anyone in your family sew, or do either of you, or what first drew you?
I will defer to my wife because my mother-in-law was a knitter. And that's what I remember my mother-in-law. She always was knitting. Sharon, you can go from there.
Yeah, I was a stitcher. I did needlepoint when I was growing up and early into my marriage. I also was a weaver. I own a 5-foot Cranbrook Bexcel weaving loom. And for many years, I was a weaver. So I have that interest in my background.
Okay, and so then how did that lead to becoming an interest in collecting samplers? What first inspired you to start a collection?
Well, we were collectors when we were in Boston. I took Sharon to a museum, was it the Forbes Museum,
Right, the China Trade Museum.
China Trade, and she liked tea, what was it?
Teapots.
Teapots. And but then we were leaving the next day for back to Detroit. But
And
nevertheless,
that China Trade Museum folded into the Peabody Essex
I see.
Museum.
Okay.
And as for text, we Sharon liked all the textiles, and we were at an antique show, and that caught her interest. And because it was interesting, it dealt with young children or young people,
Young women.
and women especially. My wife took an interest, and one thing led to another. And as she bought more than one piece, she found it, she had a great interest in it. Me, I went along initially. And now I have some interest in it.
More than some interest.
Well, what can I say? I write the checks.
That's great. Do you remember the first sampler you ever collected?
Yeah, it was the Pine Street School.
Pine Street School by Amy Finkel is the one who ended up with it. And I went because it was from Philadelphia. And I ended up buying it. But and that was the beginning of it.
I
And then
entered.
just
One led to another. Go ahead, Elaine.
I interviewed Amy last week, so that was wonderful. I really enjoyed speaking with her.
She's a wonderful lady.
She really was. She was great. So how did you both learn and educate yourself about the history of samplers?
I can tell we ended up going to Winter, taking a class in, I believe, textiles and samplers, and
Pennsylvania German.
in Pennsylvania German stuff, which was also around Philadelphia. And that's, if you develop an interest, you start reading and you start taking classes. And that's what further our interest in all this.
I mean, we were already collectors at the point in time that we acquired our first sampler. And one was from Amy Finkel, and the other first sampler we acquired around the same time was from a dealer named B. Cohn, who specialized in ceramics, specifically spatterware, mocha ware, rabbit ware, which is a form of
It's a
a
ceramic.
pattern. And we never set out to build an excellent collection of needlework. It just sort of evolved over the years because we were also at the same time collecting other things. We were collecting spatterware, which was made in the Staffordshire potteries
In England.
in England and specifically made for the Pennsylvania Germans. It was colorful, it looks contemporary, it's not contemporary, but it's very, very colorful. And from that led to deciding that our house needed to have more, I guess I would say, I want to say more of a focus, but I don't really mean more of a focus because we never really set out to build these collections. We just set out to buy things that we liked. And, one sampler, silk embroidery led to the next. And when we actually started collecting, if you would term the collecting and put that in quotation marks, we developed a very lovely relationship with Stephen and Carol Huber.
Yes.
And most of the needlework in our present collection, we have acquired through them, be it at antique shows, at auctions. We have used them as an agent to bid for us. And we have built
a sounding board.
Right. And use them as a sounding board and use them to help educate us. Now, in order to educate ourselves, we have an extensive library of probably just about every book on needlework that deals with American needlework, because we only collect American needlework.
Okay.
So when we would collect it, and I refer to, and Jeffrey refers to all of these pieces of needlework, especially the ones that are named, as our girls.
That's darling.
Okay. So, and then I would do some research on ancestry, and I would get to a certain point, and then it was like, okay, I have to stop. But what makes this the collecting so interesting and crucial about these pieces of needlework is that each one tells a story. Whether it be a sampler by Martha Mortimer Starr from Middletown, Connecticut, who lived with her uncle.
To the whole story.
And his wealth was built on enslaved peoples. So we learned all about Martha Mortimer Starr in this respect and what she ended up doing with the property. She gave it to a church. She, on the condition that they would build a church on the property that she owned in Middletown, Connecticut.
And each piece has a story.
And each piece, each girl that we can identify, because she's named on her sampler, has a story to tell. And even those that aren't named, oftentimes different characteristics point to the attribution of a specific school. And then we do a little research on the school, and we just learn. And it's exciting and it's fun.